With Montana News, I'm Corin Cates Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. As of Sunday evening, Montana is reporting more than 160 known cases of the COVID-19 illness caused by the novel coronavirus. Two more Montanans have died. The Cut Bank Pioneer Press reports a woman from Toole County died Saturday, and the Madison County Health Department notified the governor's office of another last night.
Gallatin and Yellowstone counties are seeing the bulk of cases, and health officials in both counties say the virus is spreading through the community. And Yellowstone County also learned late last week that a second guard at the county detention center has tested positive for the illness.
Yes, this is the state's largest jail. It's built for 434 inmates, but it sometimes holds as many as 530 people at a time. The first guard to test positive there posted on social media that he picked it up out of state and had, quote, little if no close contact, end quote, with inmates before he went home sick. And the new case, her last shift was on March 19th, and there's not much more information released about that case because of privacy concerns.
So if there are hundreds of people in this detention center, Nikki, what are officials in Yellowstone County doing to keep inmates safe?
So jails and prisons around the state have been changing some aspects of how the day-to-day grind of the legal system works. I spoke with Seaborn Larson. He's a cops and courts reporter at the Missoulian, and he's been covering how the legal system is reacting to COVID-19 so that they can continue to offer justice but also keep people safe. Seaborn, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So in a memo recently, Montana Supreme Court Chief Justice Mike McGrath asked city and county judges to review their jail rosters and release as many prisoners as they are able to, especially for nonviolent offenders. Are local judges doing that?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a combined effort between defense attorneys, prosecutors, and judges, and it's kind of been going in a sort of a patchwork system across the state. Well, so in some counties, we're seeing judges who are willing to look at a list that has been kind of compiled by defense attorneys and prosecutors to say, like, these people are not a risk to the community, or maybe these people have heightened vulnerability to the COVID virus. And so in some places, they're going to let people out by just a whole list. And other places, it's moving more on a case-by-case basis. Some of the top officials at the state office of the public defender has said they're not really preferential to one route or the other, but anything to try to get more people out as soon as they can.
Gotcha. And what about at state prisons? What's coming down from the State Department of Corrections?
So the State Department of Corrections has told me this last week that they are, like most other agencies, really upping the cleaning procedures around facilities. They're also trying to limit any movement of inmates between counties or between state facilities. And so they are going to county jails and trying to negotiate rates to pay them to hold inmates that would have been transferred to state facilities anyway. Speaking with the parole board this week, they've said they are going to be reviewing any possible parolees who are coming up between now and the end of the year to see who might be more vulnerable to the COVID virus and who they can fast track through that process as a response to the outbreak.
Why is there so much attention paid to this particular set of Montanans being detained in prisons or jails?
I think a lot of organizations have been really vocal about this because of their concerns for how quickly a virus like this could spread through a facility. Like, we don't have the ability to separate people into airtight pods where they're not going to be breathing the same air or being within that 6-foot distance.
You know, these contagious illnesses can travel quickly through the prison population itself, but then also there's a chance that it could be transferred to a guard or someone and then brought back into the community. Thinking of other kind of law enforcement officials who might be on the front lines, are they changing any of their policies to limit the spread of the coronavirus?
Yeah, we've seen law enforcement agencies across the state, local ones, who are kind of scaling back their in-person responses to calls for service. So if it's not an emergency or an ongoing threat to somebody, then a lot of times they're just taking reports over the phone rather than arriving on scene to meet with people. And so for all emergency or violent calls, that it definitely seems like they're still out on patrol looking for those sorts of things.
And it sounds like the court system is still functioning. And maybe this is an obvious question, but why wouldn't officials just kind of shut that down just to limit spread even further?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole court system has pretty much from the outset of COVID's arrival in Montana been told to keep moving forward by the Supreme Court. It was one of the first memos that Chief Justice Mike McGrath issued about 2 weeks ago. But I mean, when people are arrested, the part of, your rights is to have a hearing within 24 hours of that arrest. So prosecutors and law enforcement can present evidence as to why you're there. So if those aren't in place, if those hearings don't happen, then people in theory could be arrested with no probable cause. And so it's important to keep those rights in place, because if we don't have them during a pandemic, then what are they good for?
You know, a lot of the changes that you just outlined, earlier release or, faster trial dates, those are things that social justice groups have been pushing for even before the onset of the coronavirus. Is it possible that any of these new policies will stay in place after the pandemic is over?
I've been wondering about that as well. I mean, a lot of what certain groups are pushing doesn't sound any different than what they were pushing for in like the 2019 legislature, right? And so I asked one justice of the peace, Landy Holloway, here in Missoula County, about her thoughts about that and whether or not this is a good time for people to get used to these changes, maybe for the long term. And she told me that, there is a time and place to install these measures for good, but right now these are measures that are being made and agreed to totally upon the coronavirus outbreak. And so I think that might create some room for better understanding as to how these policies play out once they're in place. But in terms of them continuing after the pandemic is yet to be seen.
Seaborn, thank you so much for sharing your reporting with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Big thanks there to Seaborn Larson, the cops and courts reporter for the Missoulian. And thanks, Nikki, for talking to him.
So after Seaborn and I spoke on Friday, Phoebe Tollefson, who's the Cops and Courts reporter for the Billings Gazette, was writing about how the Yellowstone County Detention Center specifically is setting up isolation units in case there is a positive test.
And what would happen if a inmate was infected while incarcerated and then was released?
The sheriff's office says if there is a viral outbreak, they plan to petition the Yellowstone County Board of Commissioners so they can buy more GPS monitoring devices. The idea there is that, if someone tests positive but they're released, they'd be able to track them down. Or say someone is released and then their cellmate tests positive, they'd be able to track down that released inmate to do contact tracing and make sure they're not sick. And Yellowstone County has lowered its inmate count from 500 to 404 as of Friday.
And how are they going about reducing their headcount?
The Billings Gazette reports that patrol officers are making fewer bookings. They're issuing notices to appear for non-dangerous people instead. And judges are resolving more cases. They're dismissing them or sentencing people straight to programming. Jury trials are suspended at this time, so judges actually have more time to resolve those criminal cases. And it's not just like jails are throwing open the doors. Each person is being considered individually.
So we're about 2.5 weeks into the first COVID-19 case being reported in Montana. It sounds like already some significant changes in the justice system.
Indeed. And we'll be back tomorrow with changes in other aspects of our society. Thanks, Corin.
Thank you, Nikki.